Well, thank you, Pastor Jeff. I didn't quite expect all that, but I think you give me too much credit, too. So my voice is all over the place, and I know that my friends like to make fun of me whenever my voice cracks, so I apologize if it cracks. And also, when I first came on to being a part of the church and becoming the youth director, one of my biggest fears was to come up here and speak. Especially on a Sunday morning. And an even greater fear is when the clicker doesn't work. And now I don't even have a clicker. So bear with me, please. So, as you guys can see the topic, let's make some agape. Now, please pay attention through the whole sermon because I don't want to leave you on this awful note. but yeah. So if we look into the scripture reading that we had this morning, I'm just going to read that quickly back to you guys. It's from 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. And it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So the most profound statement in all of this, in this passage, is in verse 8. God is love. Now, you know, it sounds beautiful, it sounds, you know, pretty amazing, but, you know, what does it mean? Like, God is love, what does that mean? When we hear the word love, you know, what runs through your mind? Now, it can be rather confusing at times because we give love, like, many different expressions, many different definitions. For instance, some of you guys, you know, are happily married and that you love your husband and you love your wife. And you love them because they have been your partner, your companion, you know, throughout your entire life. They're the ones that support you. They're the ones that are always by your side. They're the ones that you wake up, you know, next to in the mornings, you know, that brings a smile to your face. You know, that's love right there. But I can also say that I love Alpharetta. I love Alpharetta because it's always been my home. You know, ever since I moved here when I was like 3.5 years old, there really wasn't much to Alpharetta. There was like one grocery store miles away. This Kroger here wasn't even built. Chattahoochee High School wasn't even built. Now you're probably thinking, wow, you're really old, Sonny. I'm getting there. But the reason why I love Alpharetta so much is because of this church, you know, this family, this community that has truly supported and loved me throughout the years. Now, if we look at, you know, these two examples I just gave, you know, they're both, in a sense, of me talking about love. But are they the same? I mean, I don't love Alpharetta. Well, I mean, I don't have a wife, so, you know. I don't love Alpharetta the way that I would love my future wife. That's so much laughter. I love it. So it's kind of confusing, you know? And the thing is, I don't want to confuse you anymore, but, you know, love is used in many different expressions. We fall into love, you know? It's like, you know, when, you know, we're in school and or whether we're at work or wherever, you know, you see that beautiful girl, beautiful lady, or beautiful guy, that hunk that walks by, you know, you're just like, wow, that's love at first sight, right? So that's like a term that we have like coined here. So, and then love might be, you know, in the desert, stargazing with someone that you really, really like. And then you just talk about certain things, And this might even be on a missions trip with them. That'd be terrible. But that would never happen. So we talk about that kind of love, you know? And then to make it even more confusing, what is spiritual love? What is spiritual love? You know, all the loves that I've been talking about, what is spiritual love? The Bible tells us that, as we have read, God is love, you know? And that I am to love the Lord my God with all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my mind. And then the Bible also tells us to love our neighbors, every single one of them, even our enemies. So the Bible tells us to love these people. So now I just gave you a bunch of examples just about what love is. So is there a clear-cut definition? Well, unfortunately, with the English language, you know, we have our limitations when we talk about love. Because with our media, with our culture today, and with everything that happens around us, you know, love is just being thrown into everything that we do, you know? Whether it's a dating relationship, whether it's a relationship with your parents, whether it's a love for a pet, a love for a place, a love for an item. We'll just say love because that's the only word that we know how to use. So what is love? Well, for those of you that don't know, the original New Testament was written in Greek. And in Greek, there were three different words that can be translated into love. The first is eros, and the second philia, and then the third agape. So these three Greek words all can be translated into love. So next slide, please. So eros, what kind of love is eros? Physical and sexual love. Now some of you guys are like, oh my gosh, Sonny, what are you going to talk about? Well, the thing is, with physical and sexual love, you know, this is a love that's used with touch. And to be more, you know, bold and to be more clear, this is erotic love. This is a love that is often, you know, seen in a negative light because, you know, our media has just thrown, you know, love, sex, all of these things into movies, into the news, what we hear about in the newspaper. You know, it's just, we just give it a negative look to it. And the thing is, you know, we never truly talk about it. And I know that, you know, for many of you guys, you know, growing up as children and going on to middle school, like, this is like when we hit our puberty stage, you know? And how many of you guys have had the talk with your parents? This is a Chinese church, so I only saw like two or three hands. My mom was actually here. I didn't think she was going to be here. I remember like in sixth grade, my mom attempted to, you know, talk about sex with me. And she approached me and asked, you know, it's like, you know, let's talk about sex. And my response was, being the goofy person that I was like, what do you want to know? At that moment, I think my mom just gave up, and she just laughed, and she's like, all right, whatever. So yeah, you know, when we talk about, you know, this erotic love, we never give it a clear-cut, like, what a biblical definition of it is. And that a lot of times we think of it as bad, and especially, you know, at a, you know, in this Chinese community, it's like, we don't talk about sex, you know? So with erotic love and with sex, you know, it's actually a beautiful thing. But we have to be careful in terms of, like, how we view it and how we use it. The Bible clearly teaches that erotic love is shared by two people, husband and wife, people who are married to each other, who have made a deeper commitment. And what kind of commitment is this? It's that commitment that you guys hear at the altar at weddings, you know? It's the promise that they make each other, for better or for worse, for rich or for poorer. in sickness and in health, till death do us part. That's what it takes for erotic love to be used in a biblical manner. Now, the thing about eros, this kind of love, even though, you know, it's a gift from God, naturally, it's a selfish type of love. Because it's a personal desire, it's a personal emotions, it's feelings that run through your body of what you want. Because this is a physical and sexual love. Next slide, please. Next kind of love, philia. This kind of love is brotherliness and companionship. Now, this kind of love, to make it an easy example for you, it's our idea of boy meets girl relationship. So follow with me if you will. Imagine, you know, you guys are at a diner with your first love, your first girlfriend, your first interest, and then you order that milkshake. You guys know where I'm going with this, right? You order one milkshake. One milkshake for the two of you guys to share. You throw both straws in, you sip on it, and then you just gaze into each other's eyes. You guys know the setting, right? And then that's like, you know, when the butterflies hit, and that's when everything around the world doesn't matter anymore, because all you can think about is her, and all you can think about, or it's him, you know? Just look deeply into each other's eyes. So that was like, you know, your first date. And then, you know, you go on to more dates. You go to the movies, this and that. And eventually, 8 weeks down the line, you know, you meet up at a park in a picnic. And then you say, I like you. And then he or she will respond, I like you too. And then he or she may, you know, take that extra step further and say, I love you. And then the other person is like, what? And then for a moment you're just like, I don't know what I just said. And then she would say, no, I want to hear it again. And then you would say, I love you. And then she'd be like, I love you too. And then you would say, I love you mostest. But who would ever say something like that? Not me. And then eventually, you know, as you guys grow, you know, into your relationship, maybe a few more weeks down the line, you propose the question, you pop the question, will you marry me? And then, I'm not describing myself, by the way. And then, you know, you guys, she says yes, or she says yes, and you guys move off into, you know, a marriage. But then, since this, you know, relationship was so rushed, and this was like all within like, you know, 4 or 5 months, sometimes, you know, you didn't really think about everything that has to go into a marriage. You just kind of rushed right into it because you fell in love. And then you realize, you know, some things about the other person. You don't change your underwear enough. You don't do the dishes. Your room is a mess. It's like, you don't make the eggs the way I like them, you know? And then these little things start adding up, and then arguments, you know, start to happen. And you're just left with just arguments. And then that love, that moment when, you know, you guys were at the diner, you know, staring at each other. Those moments don't exist anymore because it was just so temporary. And then a lot of times, you know, that kind of marriage ends up in a divorce. So filial love, as I have described, is a very temporary love. It's one that you can, you know, just share with someone just for that moment. Right at that time, you know, it's great, but then it's over. And like eros love, filial love is It's a selfish love. Because you desire the other person. You want the companionship. You want, you know, you want the other person. So moving on, next slide, please. So now, back to, like, you know, the title of my sermon, Let's Make Some Agape. This is the kind of love that I want to share with you this morning. This is the love that is unbelievable. This is the kind of love that I've been searching for, you know, my entire life. So when we read in 1 John, when we said God is love, if you look in the Greek translation, it says God is agape. God is not eros. God is not philia. God is agape. So what is agape love? It's a love that is more concerned about making the object of love feel loved than it is making the lover feel loved. The lover is willing to sacrifice to make the object of love feel loved. And this is exactly what God did for us. God's love is amazing. It's a kind of love that does not regard itself, but unselfishly goes to the cross and sheds its blood and gives its life so that there might be hope for those of us who are hopeless without it. That is agape love. Now, throughout my time here, you know, serving at the church, you know, I've always, you know, just, you know, loved everyone. You know, I loved the community here. I loved the youth group. I loved Pastor Jeff. And I loved, you know, just all the parents that have, you know, always, you know, come up to me and to, you know, share with me just about, you know, how their kid is doing. Like, all of that, like, is love. And these types of love that I'm talking about, you know, agape is God. God is love. And the thing about that is we need to be able to share it with other people. Now, recently I experienced this kind of love from a stranger. It was a very embarrassing moment of my life. And it just happens just so recently. And of course it would happen, you know, towards the end of my youth ministry here. So on the way back from our New Mexico missions, we took some time, you know, on our last morning to see the sunrise. And we went up on top of this mesa, like this, pretty much you can say a huge mountain that has a very flat top that you can, you know, walk along and just oversee the entire city. And, you know, for me, if you guys don't know, I just don't do heights. But I really wanted to see the sunrise, like, from up there because it's something I've never experienced before. So I went up there, and, you know, I went up there with Job and, you know, a few others. And for me, like, you know, I was watching Job just kind of walk along the narrow path of rocks, and I'm, like, about to fall for him because I'm so scared. And he's just like, whatever, this is great. But afterwards, you know, as you know, after the sunrise and after the beautiful setting, you know, as I get down from the bumpy ride and everything, I become very, very nauseous. Like, I'm just unbelievably nauseous this morning. And then I drive 3 hours to the airport, you know, as we were coming back. And, you know, I get on the plane, and for those of you that don't know, I am terrified of planes. Like, I can't stand airplane flights. I am terrified. So, you know, we get on that flight. I try to just, you know, pass out. I try to sleep right away because I don't want to deal with the takeoff and the turbulence. And, you know, to my pleasing, I did. I fell asleep. But then somehow, you know, later that flight, I just woke up. And I woke up with the plane shaking like crazy. And I'm like, I wake up, I'm nauseous too. I'm like, oh, this is not good. This is not a good feeling. I don't like this at all. So I look in front of me for the barf bag because I feel it coming up. And at this moment, I know it's coming up. So I'm searching for it, and I don't see it. And I'm just like, oh, my goodness. And then I'm in the window seat, and I have this lady doing her crossword puzzle in the middle seat, and then an old grandma that's in the aisle just, you know, peacefully sleeping. So after I could not find the barf bag, I knew that I was at this moment I was panicking. I quickly got up, just kind of looked at the lady that was next to me. I didn't want to speak because I was afraid that something might come out. So I just kind of like shoved her along the side. And then after I got through her, you know, grandma is just laying back, relaxed. And I'm just like, oh gosh, I don't know what to do. It's like, but at this point, I'm just like, no, I have to go, you know? So I just shove her completely. And then she wakes up and she's like, you know, all frantic and like looking at me funny. I'm just like, I'll explain later, you know? So I'm dashing down, you know, the aisle of the plane and going towards the bathroom. And at this moment, all I could think about is butter. And let me explain. I ate a spoonful of butter, and don't ask me why or don't judge me, please, but I ate a spoonful of butter, and it did not go well for me. And pretty much that's what was racing through my mind. And then I vomited onto the aisle in the middle of the airplane, and this is a full flight. And my vomits aren't just like your little vomits that just come out once. My vomit came out 5 times. And it doesn't come out just soft. Like, if I could describe, I don't want to be, you know, too disgusting here, but if you could imagine, like, doing a car wash, you know, spraying your hose on the car, and it just flies everywhere. So that's what it was when I was, you know, hitting the ground. And then this poor lady next to me, you know, it's just splashing all onto her skirt. And I at this moment, I feel terrible. I mean, I'm bent over, and, like, I'm ashamed, I'm embarrassed, and this is, like, the worst feeling that I've ever had in my life. I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know? And I know that the whole plane is already looking at me, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this just happened. But this lady that was next to me, she wasn't upset. She wasn't disgusted. I don't think she was disgusted. She didn't even flinch. That's what I noticed. Like, when I was on the side, she didn't move. She just stood there, and it just kind of took it. I mean, given that she can't really avoid it, she took it. And then after, you know, I was done, she placed her arm, you know, along my side and asked me, are you okay? And to me, I was just like, lady, I just threw up all over your dress. And it's like, if someone did that to me, I wouldn't want to touch them. Because when you think about, like, you know, the Old Testament times, you know, like, when somebody was unclean, you just don't associate with them. That's how I felt. I was like, I was the unclean person right there. But this lady just, you know, laid her arm next to me and just held it there and just like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I was just like, I know. So for that lady, like, that was love. It wasn't just kindness, because anyone can be kind. But this lady did not move, did not flinch, and just placed her arm around me. That was love. And this, you know, she didn't care about, you know, her dress. She didn't care about her well-being. She only cared about me. That's the kind of love that God shows to us, is that he sent his one and only son to here on earth. Now, why did he do that? Because he loved us. I mean, if anything, he had everything, you know? He could have just stayed in heaven and just, you know, kick back, relax, you know? But the fact was, he loved us. He cared for us. He cared more about us than himself. And then to see this love in action, you know, I don't know how else to describe it other than to show you the love chapter. Can you get the next slide? So let's make some agape. If you guys can read with me. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. love never fails. Now, although, you know, this entire passage is wonderful, the one thing that always, that really sticks out to me is the end right there. Love never fails. And when we talked about it earlier, what is God? God is love. So right there, to me, God never fails. So this is the kind of love that we need to show to others. When I say let's make some agape, this is the love that we need to create for our community, for one another, for our neighbors, for our enemies, for our families, for everyone that's around us. That's agape love. And to one individual that I could really just see this agape love through is Pastor Jeff. And when I think about his love for his father, the moment that he reacted instantly, you know, Pastor Jeff didn't think, you know, all the way through, you know, all the problems that he might encounter, you know, during this whole transition phase. The first thing that he thought about was his dad. And to me, that means a lot. So, Pastor Jeff, like, you know, to see you show that kind of love, it really teaches me a lot. So, to end with this morning, I'm trying to hold everything in. my love for this community, my love for you guys, the youth group, like, really, words cannot describe. Like, through all of this, through the 4 years I've been here, you guys have truly loved me. You know, I don't know if I have done justice in loving you guys back equally, but for each and every single week that I was here, you guys gave it all to me. And I am just truly grateful for you guys making me feel welcome and that you guys welcome me to your homes. You guys welcome me to watch movies with you guys, to hang out, to do Bible studies, to go on missions. Like, all of that means a great deal to me. So I thank you for that. And I pray that you guys know what God's love means. Because I think through all of it, you know, when you truly understand, you know, God's love, you truly do know who he is, and then that you appreciate him even more, and you appreciate the ones around you that much more. So I thank you, and I just want to close this in prayer. Father God, I just thank you for these people. I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for the ones that you have brought into my life. And God, I just know that, you know, 5 years ago that you just came racing into my heart. And that was when I felt your love. And I knew that this love was quite different because this was a love that was inescapable. This was a love that I just can't avoid because it was a love that has been just in my heart and that you have just been waiting for me to open. So, Lord, I thank you for this church, and I thank you for this youth group especially, that they have been able to love me and that I'm able to love them back. And that through, you know, all these years that, Lord, I just thank you that you have taught me so much. And, Lord, I just pray that as this youth group continues to grow, Lord, I pray that they can, you know, learn from Jonathan and that they can grow with him and that they'll be able to, you know, love him just as much as, you know, these guys have loved me. So, Lord, your ministry is wonderful. Your ministry is a blessing. And, Lord, I thank you for my time here. And, Lord, I thank you for letting me move on and to let go. So, Lord, I grant you this time, and I thank you. I pray this in your name. Amen.